No. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 36. I think I'm going to deem this the We've Got Nothing episode.
We've got
already.
Dick. We've got absolutely dick.
Oh, I wish I had dick.
I did some surgery on my computer because my computer has been really slow and sluggish. And of course, I have it full of all sorts of shit. So I'm a DIYer. I don't know about you. I think sometimes it's very frustrating for others around me. And sometimes I think they can probably benefit from it. And it's frustrating sometimes for me too, because I constantly look at things and go, I could do that myself.
I totally
Why would I
that.
Pay you to do it when I can do it myself? Which is hilarious considering my dude is a contractor, and that's what contractors get all the time. Nobody wants to pay a contractor because they figure I can do that myself. So I know I'm a hypocrite, but I am constantly looking. I started a jewelry business because I was like, fuck, I can make jewelry. Why would I spend, you know, $150 on that necklace when I know I can figure out how to make that necklace?
Right. How's that going for you, the jewelry business?
Oh, well, that was 15 years ago. It actually did well for a while. But then I learned that when you do something as a hobby that's fun and then you turn it into a business, it's not as fun. But that was like 20 years ago, actually. That was when you were still living here. Don't you remember that?
No.
It was I was living with Steph.
Yeah, not really. I mean, a little bit.
That's great. Super supportive. But so I learned after that, not that I didn't necessarily need to turn everything into a business, because that's my mom. That's my mom's voice.
Wait. Photography. Is that a business for you?
Maybe. No, I'm trying it out. I'm trying it out because that is fun. But it's a
I don't want to be my mother who turns everything into a business.
You didn't let me finish. You didn't let me finish. I didn't say my mother turns everything into a business. I said I hear my mother's voice because my mom is always like, that is so amazing. I can't believe you did that. You should sell those. That's everything I do. Oh, you should figure out a way to sell that.
But in the last 2 minutes, you just said to me, I created a jewelry business. I know you have a photography business. I mean, listen, you're talking to the jack of all trades, master of none. I mean, you know how many businesses I have.
Well, I stopped doing it for 20 years because there wasn't really anything else, you know, and every time. And I think when people tell you, oh, you should do that, not people, my mother, of course, the first reaction is an aversion to it. Like, no, I don't want to. I just want to make them for me. I don't want to sell them. That's not fun. Like, I thought, the moment I could find something that I would look at and go, now that would be fun, and I would enjoy doing that on a regular basis, to sell that or to, you know, make that. I'm talking about crafty stuff, all the stuff that I make. Photography, I don't have to make shit. I don't have to make anything. You just take pictures and you can edit them for them if you want. You can take pictures. That's not making anything. All the stuff that I do, I'm super crafty. I'm like the wedding. I'm making everything. It's going to be an entire, like, 150% Pinterested wedding. And I like doing it. But when someone comes in and says, oh my God, you should do this for a living. You should do parties. You should do decorations. You should make shit. That, to me, I go, pass. And I might be really good at it. Maybe I'll do a blog and monetize a blog where I can tell other people how to do a wedding for under $4,000. But the photography I look at is different because I don't have to make anything.
So will you be taking selfies at your wedding then? Since you're a photographer and you're doing it yourself?
Listen, smartass. I smell the tone through the Skype. Okay.
So listen, as your maid of honor, I want you to have the best wedding possible.
Yeah, I know.
This is just me checking in as your maid of honor. MOH.
Okay. Helpful. So no, I am not taking my own pictures. I would, because you know why? Fucking wedding photographers start at $2,500.
I know, it's ridiculous. I would just have your friends take pictures and be done with it.
$2,500? No, you know what I did? Again,
what?
I looked at that and went, this is my motto in life. You will not beat me. I will figure you out. So I took that as a personal challenge. And I was like, no, I am not going to, I'm going to do this wedding for under $4,000. And I am not going to spend half of my budget, more than half of my budget, on a photographer. So I decided to make it my plan to find a wedding photographer that I could pay for that was going to be under $1,000. I was hoping for closer to five, but I found one that would do it for nine. And she's amazing. And so what I did for all you brides to be out there is...
Yeah, because you know that we're heavily on the male side and most of our women are over 30. Keep going.
I'm pretending. Is I went to the local photography school's website. I found a photography school and I went to their website and I called them up and they have a, you know, career counselor person. And she, you know, they have a little thing. They send you a form. You fill it out with what you're looking for photography wise. And they say, okay, you know, she's basically said, okay, let me see what I can do. If you don't get any calls, you know, let me know. And I had emails from like three or four gals. That a couple of them were, you know, they weren't, you have to be open-minded because they weren't necessarily there were a few of them that weren't necessarily wedding photographers. They had a little bit of experience with wedding photography, but they were fashion photographers. And I looked at their stuff and there was one gal that I was almost going to go with until another gal came in. Oh, that was my cell phone. Sorry, I'm going to turn that off.
Is it my mother? Because you know my mother always calls during the
yes,
show.
Yes, yes. She couldn't get a hold of you, so now she's texting me. No.
Right.
So I, and then the very last gal who emailed me actually was a wedding photographer. That's what she wanted to do. She had experience in other areas, but a lot of her photos were wedding photos and she was willing to work within my budget. And we kind of agreed, you know, we talked and agreed upon a number and, I was just super ecstatic that it was under 1,000. So there's ways to do it. There's ways to be crafty.
There's always ways to do everything.
And I just look at stuff and I go, I could do that. So when it came to my computer,
I could do that.
Da-da, I could do that. I could do that. So when it came to my computer being slow and sluggish and annoying, I thought, I could do this. Me, Google, and a little teeny tiny screwdriver. We can get this done.
Good for you. Well, that's what you're doing. Yesterday, I have one massage client left.
Oh, are you still doing the massage?
Just one woman. It's my friend's mom, who's my friend. I've been massaging her since 2002. I don't know. So 13 years.
Rubbing her naked body for 13 years.
Yeah, which is funny because she's known me since I was a girl. And she's like, you could never have told me that you'd be rubbing my fat. I wouldn't have believed you, you know? So anyway, I was at her house yesterday and they have this like standalone gumball machine. And at the base of the gumball machine was like this yellow protuberance, which looked very phallic. And I said to her, you know, that looks like a dick. Cause this woman is also, there's no filters with her. We get along fabulously. I'm like, you know, that looks like a dick. And she goes, yeah, I don't really know what it is. My husband's a flashlight. My husband, I don't know what his thing is with it. I'm like, I don't want to know what he does with it. It's at the base of this thing. I'm just telling you, it looks like a dick. I go, not that I would know. I go, I haven't seen one in a while. And she goes, girl, I haven't seen one in even longer. And I just totally started laughing. You get it? She's married. She's an older woman. She hasn't seen a dick in a while. That's so sad. There you go.
That's a sad story. I hope that's not a tale of things to come.
I say that. It hasn't been that long since I've seen a dick, but...
It hasn't been that long for her either, poor thing. If she's married, good God, don't let it get
I'm sure she sees them naked, but I'm guessing they're not getting
Yeah, nobody business. Wants to just see it naked walking by. Dicks are only helpful if they're seen in action.
I don't even know how to come after that. Wow, and that just was, boy, weren't this a slippery slope already, me not knowing how to come after that. Let me assure you that if I saw a dick in action, I would definitely know how to come after that.
Listen, speaking of, so because we had nothing, I started Googling. And the first thing that came up is German social network seeks prostitute tester.
What?
Speaking of dicks in action.
So some German place is looking for girls who will have sex with somebody?
A social media company catering to Germany's adult industry is creating a new position. A sexual position. Kaufmach.com, which means buy me in German, that's my German, has just announced it is hiring a full-time prostitute tester. A willingness to lie down on the job is a requirement if you get our drift, wink, wink, wink.
Wait, a prostitute wink. Tester?
So the man or woman is chosen to review brothels in Germany.
Oh,
and
yes.
The emphasis, of course, is on service, cleanliness, and compliance with safe sex practices.
Wow.
Service, cleanliness, and compliance.
At your cervix.
At your cervix. So no cervix punching going on there.
Could you imagine if that was like a thing on a scale of 1 to 10?
That's what you're looking for when you go into a brothel. Like,
I don't want to go into.
You do the white glove test. Oh, this place is dirty.
No, I don't want to go into some place. If that was my deal, I wouldn't want to go into some brothel and see like juices from somebody else's session. I wouldn't want to see like pubes like someplace. That would skeeve me out even more. So, yes, I think cleanliness is probably a very good factor. I would like to know if the females will have, on a scale of 1, 0 to 10, 0 being not at all, 10 being, holy cow, you hit the wall, was your cervix punched?
Holy cow. 0 would be womp, womp, and 10 would be, holy cow, my cervix was punched. Wait,
right,
okay.
Your cervix being punched is not a good thing. I know that doesn't happen to you. That's not fun. I wouldn't be like, holy cow, wow.
No, I know. But that's what I'm saying. For some people, maybe your, you know, maybe your ow is somebody else's wow. You don't know.
That's true.
So
turn that ow into a wow.
Turn that ow into a wow. Again, another infomercial. We've just come up with another infomercial.
Okay.
The cervix puncher. Turn that ow into a wow.
Have you been punched in the cervix so many times? Ow, that could be painful. Turn that ow into a wow with a vaginal extender. No more punching cervixes. Oh my God.
Vaginal
I'm so good at this.
Or the dick minimizer. Okay, so.
That's exactly what the guy's going to want.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What
Honey,
do I do?
Put on this dick minimizer. It's kind of like a, what do they call those things when you travel that you apply your vacuum to that sucks the air out of it?
Oh, this food saver?
But yeah, it's like a food saver. It's like the food saver where you attach it and it's honey, it'll be fine. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just come closer.
And I dare you to ejaculate now because you cannot feel anything in your penis.
Yeah, but according to you, that was your friend. That's a good thing. The one who didn't want to feel any sensation in his hand. Stranger danger.
Yeah, hand is better. Hand is different than your dick. You certainly
I'm pretty sure they want to feel. They still want to feel something. Okay, so listen. They had to make sure in the notice, in the fine print. You have to read the fine print because the fine print of being the prostitute tester says doing this requires having sex with sex workers. In case you didn't pick up on that yet, in the rest of the job description.
Yeah, sure.
Doing this requires having sex with sex workers, according to Kaufman.com's manager, who only gave his name as Ben. See, now, if you have
Ben
a company...
Ben doesn't sound like a very German name, does it?
If you have a company... Well, I think it was not his real name. It was a pseudonym. His real name is Klaus von Frankenstein's. But you can call me Ben.
Hey, I just want to hear Frau Buha. Frau Buha.
So apparently they're okay with hiring prostitute testers and running a brothel, but God forbid he should actually give his name to anybody. Not,
sure.
Not that this is his job, is the manager of a brothel, but hey, call me Ben and make sure to disguise my voice. So having a brothel in Germany is totally legal. Which, again, doesn't make sense just why Ben wouldn't want his real name revealed. But there's no quality system in place. So they have decided that they want to be the TripAdvisor for brothels.
I was going to say,
says
like Ben. TripAdvisor.
So what do you say? You go on TripAdvisor, you go on Kaufman.com, and you say, very clean. There was no dust to be found. I ran a blue light over the bed, and it was very clean.
Yes.
Greta's vagina was also clean. There was a slight odor, but everything was great.
And her lips were not too large. They was like Goldilocks, not too big, not too small.
The labia was perfect, and she let me punch her cervix into next Tuesday. So I would definitely go back.
Yeah. The service was friendly.
The service was friendly, and and they left a mint on the pillow. I don't know exactly what kind of reviews you would find, but I can only imagine they would be raunchy,
well,
dirty,
be the cost.
And not even remotely
no,
helpful.
No, I disagree. I think if done correctly.
So on a scale of 5 penises, the cost was 3 penises?
Perhaps.
Because it was mediocre. They overcharged for
the linens. Right, but
the
review might be, okay, so the review might be, you know, Ben's brothel, they'll perform missionary, but they don't do anal. And you can get a hand job, but not a blow job. And it'll cost you X, Y, and Z. And they're very friendly. And if you like this, you have to ask for it this way. I mean, it's just like a hotel review.
If you want golden showers, they charge you extra for that. Just know up front, guys, buyer beware, buyer beware.
Right.
So what else does it say?
I think
besides
it's a very
scoring tips
service.
For carnal consumers, the ideal candidate should enjoy having fun with people and not be afraid of contact. Again, master
wait,
of
wait,
the
I
obvious.
Wait, I want to have sex with you. I want to have sex with you. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Master of the obvious. Randy's reviewers. Oh, Randy. Sorry. Randy. It's Ben. Ben's Randy reviewers should also have a business degree, a full health certificate, an ability to be a cunning linguist when it comes to speaking French, according to Newsweek. Wow. So, oh, and knowing the ins and outs of brothels would be a plus. So if you are looking to be hired by Kaufman.com, you need to
have a
business degree, a full health certificate, an ability to be a cunning linguist and speak French. So, yet again,
a cunning linguist.
So they're being punny.
Yeah.
Okay. So yet again, you know, it's hard to find a job nowadays for new graduates who are just graduating, you know, and how they say it's so difficult in the job market. Yet again, you could be a college graduate, but if you don't have a fucking business degree, you can't get hired to have sex with people and review it.
In Germany.
In Germany.
Wow.
They do have 150 applicants so far, though, mostly from Germany, but a few from Belgium, the Netherlands, and Great Britain. So, you know, if you want to go and represent the good old USA.
I wonder how you get paid for that, like as the reviewer. How many brothels you go to in a day? How many? I mean, that's kind of interesting, too, because I imagine you'd want more than one person's opinion.
Yeah.
So I imagine
so
could probably
It was founded in 2009 by three brothers who were probably sitting around drunk and high going, oh my God, dude.
Circle jerking.
I just had the greatest idea for a business. We wouldn't have to sit here and jerk off with each other if we just knew that the brothels that we wanted to go to were clean.
Could you please say that with a German accent?
I can't do a German accent. Can you do a German accent?
No, but I really thought that would have been funny if you could have. Too bad.
Huchtenhagen. Something like that. I find that visual hilarious because you know those three brothers were probably just like fucking around and then they woke up the next day covered in semen and hungover going, wait a minute. Hans had an idea there.
That's not a bad idea, Hans.
Hans, you're not a dumbass like we thought. I know you don't have a business degree or a college degree of any kind, but we're going to hire people who have business degrees.
But I think you should expect others to have it.
Yeah. So they want to, their vision is to see sex work as an equal and fully accepted part of society. Oh, Julius. His name is Julius. Julius Dreyer, who's one of the brothers, who's not ashamed to give his full name.
Nor should he be. If it's legal and it's consenting.
All kinds of problems arise from sex workers being isolated and judged.
And this is where kind of there's the fine line, right, with when it comes to prostitution. Because some people say, why would anyone ever want to solicit their body and use their body for sex to get paid for it? And then you look at like the trafficking, the sex trafficking stuff, and you're like, these women and possibly men or young boys are made to have sex. They're drugged, whatever. Yeah, I totally get that side. And that's really awful and nefarious and whatever. But I got to imagine on some level there are people that choose to do that work because it's lucrative and they're good at it. I don't know what the percentage is, though. It's nothing I've studied, but I think...
purely uneducated standpoint.
Well, nor have I participated in that arena, but I would imagine that if it was given legitimacy and, you know, this site could... Something like this site could make it more reputable, then perhaps it would elevate the sex worker to something other than something degrading.
That's the Three Brothers claim. That's all they're trying to do. Make it legitimate and unshameful, because they probably themselves have visited a brothel and... oh, sorry.
She's drinking the green thing again and she's eating toast. As you know, we do this pretty early in the morning out at California Way. And I give hats off to you doing this early at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Sometimes we've done it even earlier at like 8:30. So they probably are trying to legitimize their own, you know, experiences.
Well, and I think also part of that would be
sex workers.
Sure. And I think part of that review would be really, I would want to know if that's what I was into. If I was going to go through a brothel, I'd want to know if the girls were like on drugs, because I wouldn't want to be with them if they were. So that would give you some indication too of kind of what, you know, you can go to this place for $20 and they got tracks in their arm, or you can go to this place for $100 and they're clean and they're intelligent or can carry a conversation.
I still don't understand why you have to have a fucking business degree. Who cares?
Well, that I don't understand either, but whatever. Okay.
Okay,
well,
so I found something in a completely unrelated tangent.
Yeah,
because
please.
Because I'm getting married soon, I just something caught my eye that says 9 signs your marriage was doomed from the start. So we need to know.
We need to know.
This better not be lame, obvious shit.
But as women who have both been divorced, we might be able, I'd be curious to see what this person, random person, probably without some kind of psychology degree, has determined is 9 things.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, anyone can write anything, and it's gospel now.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, no, I'm calling my wedding off if this applies to me. Number one, you were just too different. Okay, well, that's, again, I think these are going to be master of the obvious. They're talking about, you know, example, he's a Republican and she's just left of Al Franken. So, yeah, I mean, I get it.
How would they have gotten together in the first place unless the sex was good? Keep going.
Okay. They're saying in real life, the dynamic that made dating a relationship exciting can eventually erode the marriage. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. Number two, your partner monopolized all of your time.
Ooh.
I understand that because in the beginning, you know, you spend all your time with each other. I know there's that. And I definitely have fallen prey to it myself, that the whole, you know, your friends are like, we never see you anymore, because for a while... And it can be a year, it can be 2 years, you know. Sorry, when you're in the honeymoon phase, no matter how long that lasts, you can dive in and just kind of disappear and not see your friends for a while, not see, you know. And so I kind of get that. But then they're saying if your partner then gets jealous when you start to, you know, when you come out of that initial honeymoon phase and you start to spend time with your friends and family, that's the big step back when you go, what?
I don't think that happened for me, but keep going.
Okay. Number three, wait staff were treated like second-class citizens. What's the best way to get a quick read of a partner's character early on? Watch how they treat waiters or waitresses at a restaurant.
I agree with that, actually.
I agree with that, too, because I definitely... I mean, I have some friends. Nobody I've ever dated, but I definitely have some friends that I've... at restaurants that I've looked at and gone, whoa, what the fuck? I just got into you. I mean, and they were just friends of mine. It wasn't... And not, like, super good friends, but there definitely have been times where I was like, wow, okay, maybe... Don't be so rude, because it's not her fault.
Yeah, I don't like anyone who treats anybody less than how they want to be treated themselves is never okay in my book.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Under any circumstances.
Never. Number four, you never discussed your future. They're saying it's not necessarily exciting to map out plans for your financial future as a couple, but a baseline understanding of your partner's hopes for the years to come is a little helpful, which I suppose I understand, because I've definitely heard about people getting divorced or it not working out, because nobody I know personally, but I've heard about people, you know, especially celebrities, where you hear that they get divorced or people, it doesn't work out because that person doesn't want kids or they don't want, like, I think what ended Angelina Jolie's relationship with what's his face? What was that actor's name?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. Because she, I think that it was because he found out she wanted to adopt, like, you know, all of Africa, and he wasn't on board with that. But wouldn't you think that maybe that would have been something that you would have known or talked about before you got married? Hey, by the way, I want a lot of kids.
And I don't think you need to have like a strategic financial map, but I think when you're dating,
idea of whether someone wants children or not is helpful or what.
Okay, I never would marry someone if we weren't on the same page with children, you know? And then like, and let's talk about marriage. Some people don't even want to get married. You know, you have to just gauge what people want, and that's how you find out if you want to stay with them or not. So this is kind of silly, but.
No, but money is a big thing. Because I definitely had plenty of therapy in my life. And you know, that's one of the things that they say ends a lot of relationships. One of the biggest things that ends a relationship is money. Fighting over money and having very differing. Because my ex, this isn't why we got divorced, but my ex and I had very different views about money. And it's okay if I think I'm definitely way more conservative. I'm not a gambler. I don't like risk taking. I'm way more conservative. That won't necessarily get me far in life because I think I'm way too conservative, and you need to at least be open to taking a little bit of risk. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to. I think if you play it way too safe your whole life, you're not going to be able to get ahead either. And my current guy is much more of a risk taker, which I think the pros of both sides of us are, you know, they work well together because I can keep him in check and rein him in a little bit when he gets a little too crazy. And he can kind of keep me in check and say, no, you know, it's time to like maybe branch out a little bit and stretch a little bit. But if you're completely on opposite sides where one person is, you know, a spender and spend, and the other person, you know, I mean, like, I think there's definitely.
But don't you think that that's the kind of stuff that, again, you see when you're dating? Like, I'm totally cool with being with someone who is frugal. I will not be with someone who is cheap.
Yeah.
And there's a total difference.
There's definite things that people fight over when it comes to money, not having it, not agreeing, but they do say that that's one of the number one things that couples fight about is money. But I think it could be money stress also. When you have money stress,
that's something before it breaks up your marriage, that shit you should have kind of nailed down before you even get married.
That's not what ended my first marriage, but I definitely know that I was young when I started that relationship and I did not really
think
have
about
a
that.
I did not have a firm grasp on some of that stuff before we got married.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I didn't really think to like ask, you know? Oh, yeah. Number five. Here, you're going to love number five. The sex was mediocre at best. So this goes back to our poor unhung hero from the last episode.
It does. Did you watch that yet?
She was out. No, I have to try to find it. It was on the movie channel, which I don't have because I canceled all my premium movie channels because there's no good shows on anymore. All the good shows are done. So I have to find it. I have to look for it on Netflix or Hulu. But she was out because technically, I don't know whether she thought the sex was mediocre, but apparently if she thought his dick was too small, then clearly that would mean, i.e., I could extrapolate that she thought the sex was mediocre.
Mediocre at best, is what I'm guessing. Right.
So the sex isn't going to be mind-blowing at every stage of your relationship, it says, but if it wasn't anything to write home about to begin with, you may have made a major mistake in getting married, which I don't know. I mean, I kind of agree with that to a certain degree because what one woman might find mediocre, another woman might find mind-blowing.
Well, definitely. So you got to take that in the context of your particular situation. And actually, I had a conversation with a girlfriend who's been married for 20 years and has 3 kids. And I said, you know, what do you do? Do you still have sex regularly? And she's like, yes, we actually make it a point to.
She says,
I find that if we go for any short period of time without it, the connection between us is different. And
you
I don't
that
like
connection.
That.
Yeah. You lose. From being on both sides of that scenario, I can say that yes, I would never, ever let it go very long again. Make it a point. Even if you're tired, if you don't want to, don't care. It needs to be a priority for you to be having sex on a regular basis because 100% when we go too long, the connection does feel different. It does feel different.
And in my marriage, which was 10 years, we went a couple of years at a time without having sex.
And then you're basically roommates.
Well, yeah, but because there are other situations that were going on, that having a sexual relationship was just something that I wasn't interested in participating in.
Right.
So that being said, you have to come back from that. I mean, then we would, you know, get back into some kind of rhythm, if you will. But ultimately what broke the marriage up is kind of what was why we weren't having sex in the first place. So,
well, they, and that's the thing is that, you know, usually it's not just about, I saw this, I think it was a Dateline where they talked about a retreat, a couple's like retreat. It was one of those therapy things where it was, you know, they found some couples who were willing to do their couples therapy on, you know, TV on Dateline.
Sure.
And they followed them along this 3-day retreat. And it was fascinating because it was a sex therapist, and it was all about their sex lives. And all three of the couples had the same problem. They weren't having sex. And all three of them thought the same thing. If we just had more sex, I think our problems would be fixed. But it's never that simple. They followed the three of them and they checked in with them with their therapy. And they all had different reasons why they weren't having sex. But when they really delved into it, the problems which caused, you know, the result was not having sex, but it wasn't the problem. The problems were all deeper rooted. And the couple that you thought for sure was going to break up ended up staying together. And the other two couples who you were like, well, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, they just need to have more sex, their issues became so much deeper. Like one couple, it literally was just, well, I think she's too aggressive. I think she, the husband was like, I think she's way too sexually aggressive for me, for my taste. And she wanted him to be more adventurous. And you would think, oh, well, they can get past that. That's not, they ended up getting divorced. Because the problem ended up being so, like when they really delved into what that was, it was way deeper, and it uncovered all these other issues that they realized that they just weren't compatible.
Yeah.
Listen. So two of the three couples ended up getting divorced, and all they went into therapy thinking if we just had more sex, we'd be fine. It's always deeper.
You have, okay. So aside from going through the honeymoon phase or the rabbit phase or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that every relationship ebbs and tides. However, it's that intimacy, and the intimacy doesn't always have to be sex. It has to be intimacy. So
yeah,
if you're going through a period where you're just too tired or the kids or this and ever, it's still about maybe laying in bed and snuggling and spooning and holding each other and touching each other and talking to each other in bed when there's, you know, where you take that time. And I think the sex evolves out of that, but you still have to want your partner. You still have to want them to be the same woman that I was telling you about earlier with the phallic gumball machine. She told me she had 6 kids, and she said, I raised my kids to get out. You know, she goes, my marriage was always about me and my husband, because I knew when they left, it was just me and him.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't going to be my best friend, then it wasn't going to work. So try doing that for having 6 kids. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and you have to make time for each other. But it's funny because there was another thing that I saw on the Today Show years ago. And at the time, you know, before I was in my current relationship, I thought, no fucking way. Who could do that? There was this couple that wrote this book about for, I think it was 30 days. For 30 days, you have to have sex every day.
Yes,
yes. Do you remember that? And
yes.
I, at the time, I was like, no fucking way. Who could do that? Why would you want to do that? That's too much. And now in my current situation, I go, oh yeah, absolutely. 100%. I could totally see that. If you're having issues and you need to like find your way back to each other every day for 30 days. We've never needed to, I think probably when we first started dating, I'm sure that we didn't even really need to be told that. But now, I mean, I could totally see the benefits of that. I could see the benefits of that and see, you know, how easy it is. But I was also like you, coming off of a relationship where we went long stretches of time without having sex. And at the time, you know, you think, oh, but that's not, you know, when you get busy and you're tired and we're, you know, life happens and you got kids and, but now I look
but
at
I
that
think
and
you
go,
you still
no.
always yearn to be kissed and touched. I mean, even if it's not a full on sexual encounter, touch me provocatively, kiss me provocatively, tell me, you know, if it's a stolen moment, because that's all we can muster for that day.
Yeah.
You still have to engage every day. You have to be excited to see that person in your life. or else it's not going to last.
No, it's important. And it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I look at that now and go, wow, there were so many different signs that things were not okay, or that were not, you know, that there was deeper issues. But I was so naive to, I was just so naive.
Well, live and learn.
To life in general.
Okay, so where are we at?
Number six, there was verbal abuse. This is kind of a given. It says it's not easy to identify a verbally abusive partner in the beginning stages of a relationship because they're too busy trying to charm and win you over. But that said, there are warning signs. Your partner might have insulted you and quickly claimed they were joking, but slowly the need for control would ramp up, and so the insults would as well. Relationships aren't perfect. Some people say things they don't mean, but normal people apologize and don't do it again. Little by little, verbal abusers will bring you under control until you have lost yours. Interesting. I don't know that I don't know. I definitely, there have been fights where I fought with significant others and said, that's verbally abusive. What you're doing right now, I think, is verbally abusive. So you need to not talk to me like that. But as far as being, you know, as far as what they're explaining, I have not experienced that. Have you?
Yes.
Oh.
That was a glamour don't.
A glamour don't?
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
so hard. And that goes, so then when you're in that kind of situation, having sex with that person isn't something you want to do. No. So now we're just backtracking a bit. So
fuck no.
Yeah, but, so I appreciate
but you're
that.
A strong, but the thing about it is you're a strong person, and imagine there's plenty of women out there who probably were just kind of, you know, or who can be easily manipulated and controlled to think that it's not that big of a deal and that they're just mad at me or.
Right. So I'm a strong person, yes, but I lost who I was. I mean, how many years didn't you hear from me?
Yeah, that's true. That's
because
true.
I lost my identity.
Yeah.
You don't realize it. It erodes at your self-esteem and your self-value and your self-worth. Now, you know, I say this with pure love, the person that I was involved with, and I have completely worked through that, and that's awesome. But it's awful. So let's keep moving.
Okay, number seven. Friends and family weren't supportive of the relationship.
Okay.
Your significant other was never going to be universally loved by everyone in your life. Still, it should have given you pause if there was a general consensus among friends and family that your partner was not right for you. That's a tough one.
Did that happen to you? That didn't happen to me until I was a little bit in it. So did that happen to you right away?
No, that never.
Because you guys were together for a long time.
That never happened to me because it was never that. We were together for a long time, and it was never that my family wasn't supportive of the relationship. They were very supportive of the relationship because we looked like the perfect couple. We were very respectful of each other. And,
Right. You
know, we never fought, which I got to tell you, I think is bullshit. The whole we never fight thing, I wore that as a badge of honor while we were together. And in hindsight, I was like, yeah, I don't think that's healthy. I think it was more like there was way too much shit being shoved down and not said because we just worked it out on our, you know, on our own and didn't hash it out. And I think there needs to be some healthy fighting. But that being said, it wasn't that they were necessarily saying critical of the relationship. They were critical of some things that about him that were happening in the relationship.
Right, sure.
They were critical of, you know, some financial stuff and some, and I, because we were together for so long, I was expert at defending. Because, you know, not everybody's going to be rich. Not everyone's going to be, you know, able to earn a lot of money. And it's not necessarily important is what I was telling myself. But there definitely was some stuff that I look back on and go, but at the end of the day, you need to be able to just kind of be the man and take care of your shit and stand up right. And say, okay, I'm gonna just do what needs to be done because it needs to be done.
Right. Okay, what's next?
Well, you moved past that one pretty quickly. Was everyone supportive of your relationship?
To my face.
Oh, not behind your back, huh? They were all talking about it behind your back?
Not all. And it was as things progressed.
That then would it surprise more me with more. Your family, that your family wouldn't just step right up and be like,
no,
you know
my
what?
Family was, fa- was no, all no. for it. It, oh. It was things, as things were occurring, the support was draining rapidly.
From friends? And
then, friends and then family, yeah. And so then, unfortunately, what happened was at one point, it was almost like an intervention of why I should not be in this relationship.
Oh.
That's never fun. Keep going, please. This is supposed to be light. This is the divorce show, I think.
Number 8, you didn't make career decisions together. Oh, that's kind of a big one.
Mm.
This is, you know, my guy and I joked about this because in the past, in his past relationship, I think he, you know, would just, he'd buy stuff. He'd just come home and have bought stuff, you know, like bought a new car, bought a whatever. And I said, yeah, you do realize that I would never be okay with you making a gigantic choice about a purchase or a job or something like that without consulting me. And he laughed because he was like, oh, fuck no, I would never do that to you. But yeah, I mean, gigantic choices, whether it's career or a huge purchase of some kind, like a car or a boat
right.
or a house.
Yeah, that can't be good.
That's not good when your partner's making those gigantic financial decisions
literally,
without talking to you.
Yeah, I knew someone that literally bought a house for his wife without her knowing.
Oh my God.
They acted at work.
Oh no, I would think no. That's one of those
it
surprises
felt very
that
controlling,
are, that
very
really gonna,
she was it, yeah. and it actually kind of ruined their relationship.
Really?
Because she resented it. Yeah, because
did they
she was
get
like,
divorced?
Yeah. Eventually, you know, because as much as it was seemed like it was a gesture of love, she felt that he wasn't considering her in the choices and it was felt controlling and manipulated and
well, why would you not think that your wife would want to have some say? Buying a house is a huge thing. People are very particular about what they like and what they don't like. And that's a really big thing.
All right, moving along.
It's not good. Okay, so number 9, you felt compelled to change for your partner. You want to be the best version of yourself when you're in a relationship. If your partner subtly or not so subtly suggested you need to change, it should have been a red flag. I don't know that I've ever experienced this one either.
I changed as a result of what was going on, not because...
I changed as a result of what was going on.
Yeah.
In both, in you know, a number of relationships, I've changed. How can you not change when
well, I think
things,
you,
circumstances are happening?
Well, but I even think in healthy ways you change. You know what I'm saying? When you're with someone who inspires you to be the best person you are, you're going to continue to grow and evolve. So changing isn't a bad thing at all. Changing is can be fabulous in that regard. It's when it's not for wonderful reasons that it becomes detrimental.
Yeah.
And number 10.
No, it was 9. There's only 9.
Yeah, I know. And number 10.
What's number 10?
Oh, there's only 9?
That's what I said. Number 9. 9 signs your marriage was doomed from the start. You don't listen. You don't listen to me.
Yeah, number 10 is...
What's number 10? We'll make up number 10.
We'll make up number 10. Okay, there we go. That was fun.
That was
Yay.
Fun. Do you want to learn about the circumcision protester selling the...
People are upset about other people selling dried foreskin? What?
Circumcision protester, yeah, is selling foreskin sculptures for $1,000 each.
Oh, foreskin sculptures. I actually thought it was someone who was taking the foreskins
Who's
from
buying
actual...
foreskin?
I just thought it was another one of those weird things that became about that there's a market... For dried foreskin tips.
Yeah, speaking of, did you ever sell your panties online to anybody?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
I haven't had a chance.
Can you not find the appropriate vacuum sealer?
I need to investigate. There's things have gotten
space
a little
bags.
Crazy.
That's the word I was trying to come up
space
with earlier.
Bags, that's
space
right.
bags.
Things are a little crazy. Hey, everyone, Ruth is in the hospital again. So if you can throw some groovy vibes her way, I would so appreciate it. She's been through hell and back. So that's kind of been taking up some time. So I can't really get the vacuum sealer for that. I've got a couple purchases to make. We've got to get the Go Girl urination device. We still have to get the jade eggs to go into our vaginas.
We need Go-Gurt urination and eggs. Hey, but what was it that was, I don't know why I was thinking of this morning when I was getting ready. What was it? Was it a product or an exercise that we were supposed to do that was going to enable us to shoot ping pong balls across the,
that's the jade egg that I got to get, but they're expensive. So you and I need to talk off show. I mean, they're like 50, 70 bucks.
Yeah, fuck that. I don't need to be able to do a party trick for, for $80.
Well, I don't, again, if it really improves the health of your hoo-ha, then what price is it worth?
But does it? Or just does it allow you to maybe go to a you know, another country, go to Germany and be able to do tricks, parlor tricks at the brothels?
Well, you know, Barnum and Bailey's, they're not getting rid of the elephant.
They
know.
Are. They are.
So
because of
they're going to need to replace it with something.
They are. They
are.
If
you could shoot like volleyballs out of your hooch.
Kitties, gather around. Gather around. Come one, come all. Gather around. The amazing Girk and her
Why
badge.
Why does it have to be me? Why couldn't it be the amazing
Because your Keith? Badge is clearly stronger than mine from what you've talked about. You can grip on this shit and hold on to them. I can't do that.
I can do that with
like yards ahead of where I would be.
I said I could do that with a penis. You make it sound like I'm like, oh, look, there's a hoe in the backyard needs to be picked up. My vagina's going to go grab it. It's not.
But you could. You've never tried it, but I'm pretty sure your vagina could.
But how disturbing. How disturbing would that be for my neighbors to see me in like, with my vagina weightlifting
There's
thing dragging.
Again, picking up her yard tools with her badge.
Dragging the hoe across the yard, walking backwards.
Dragging her hoe. No pun
Oh
intended.
My God, that's so funny.
She's so
All
funny.
Right, you guys, what a fabulous show.
Yeah. Yeah, our show about
Actually,
nothing.
You've learned a number of things about Kika and our past relationship. Wow. And there you go. Listen, I hope you all have a great week.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's going to be like Easter. I don't know about you, but we just had more snow. We had 5 inches of snow on Monday. It's gone.
Did and you really?
Then we had like a half an inch and now it's gone again, but it's been cold here.
We're having a heat wave here. It was 90 degrees yesterday and I got so tired because I'm not ready for the heat. You know, your body has to kind of ramp up into that kind of heat. And I got really tired in the middle of the day. I thought, shit, I got to go home and take a nap. What the fuck? 92 degrees.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was
hey,
crazy.
You know, one more thing. Listen, a friend of mine turned me on. Actually, Chloe from the Handcuffs had posted something about this HBO series.
What is it?
Documentary series called The Jinx about Robert Durst, who was thought to be responsible for 3 deaths.
Yeah. He's been all over the news here.
Holy cow. I watched the last episode last night and I'm not usually shocked by a lot of things, but I literally went, fuckity shit, fucking shit crap. That was like, my mouth was hanging open at the very...
Why? Because he killed her?
How?
Because he killed her?
There's 3 people. He admitted to killing one and got off. Like, literally was set free because of the circumstances. And the other 2 people that he was accused of killing, it was just... I'm going to only tell you. I don't want to ruin it.
So
I'm
wait, what's
tell
it
you,
called? It's a show. Is it a documentary?
Yeah, it's a 5-part documentary series on HBO called The Jinx, J-I-N-X, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, D-U-R-S-T. They're like 5 48-minute segments. I was riveted the entire time. So good if it's crappy weather or you need something to do or you want some. I mean, it was like the thing that was freaky to me is that it was a psychological thriller that was real. I mean, they made a movie called All Good Things. And I think it was in 2010 with Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst. And
that's irony. Irony.
Yes. And then this guy. Anyway, watch it. So if you got nothing to do, do that. Happy Easter egg hunting. And I love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Happy Easter egg. Well, Easter's not. Yeah, we have a little bit of time. But yeah, this will probably be the show that'll air right before
this
Easter.
This is the show. Yeah. It is the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a little bit more enthusiasm about it? You're like, yeah.
No, things are coming up so fast. All right. Go forth. Have an amazing week, everybody.
Yeah. Check out the handcuffs, www.thehandcuffs.com. Have a great week, you guys. Bye.
Bye.